Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And it's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Our high school roundtable is coming up today with the playoffs coming up. And we get to the playoff round. So Greg Wetzel will be on today. Let's see. Do we have Steve or Zach?
We will have Steve Briggs today.
Steve Briggs today. Okay, we'll talk with him about the Selins Grove playoff game. Selins Grove has Shamokin at home. And Lewisburg will be at Jersey Shore. Normally, the suit tries to jump in and do one of the playoff games and knock one of our people out. It's kind of an ego thing. Then he found out the game was at Jersey Shore, and he opted out.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Beautiful people there, by the way. You ever been to Jersey Shore?
I have not had the pleasure yet.
Phenomenal people there. Great people.
That's what I've heard.
Don't understand what the rub is. All right. And to be honest with you, maybe it's the personal thing? I don't know.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Some people just don't mesh with other people, or they've been ultra critical of them in the past. Gee, I wonder which one that was. All right. And so we've got that coming up as well. The game's both on Friday. The game at Selins Grove will be on Eagle 107. The game at Jersey Shore between Lewisburg and Jersey Shore will be on 100.9 The Valley. There you go. Then we will talk, we will go from there to Del Mar, Southern California. Figure we'd mention that for Award 4. Kind of helps out a little bit in the geography. The Breeders' Cup is this weekend, and Dick Girardi is there. We'll go to Del Mar and talk with him. And then we'll go 3,000 miles to the east and join the mystic himself, the king. Quite a show today. Matt Nagy has tested negative for COVID-19, clear to return to Hallis Hall. Meanwhile, no Aaron Rodgers. He's not in that... He's not in that category. Because evidently he's not vaccinated. Also, one other note, a couple other notes. There will be now two sports channels that will shut down on New Year's Eve. NBC Sportsnet shutting down, and now ESPN Classical shut down. ESPN has owned ESPN Classic since 1997. They've been scaling it back, and they're finally just going to shut it down. So, let's see. Shiel Kapadia, senior writer, NFL, Athletic. One thing that stood out from the Eagles film... was that Mark Wahlberg is not as quick-playing wide receiver as he was in the movie Invincible. I think it's an issue.
Oh, my almighty!
One thing that stood out from Eagles film was their use of under center runs combined with play action. They had 17 design rushes for 101 yards with Jalen Hurts under center. He was also 3-of-3 for 51 yards on play action under center. In their first seven games combined, they had 76 yards on under center runs. He said, I'm not saying this is a fix, but it should be at least a part of their offense.
Earth to Nick, stick with what works. Enough with the RPOs.
Management does not like when I start the show. They say there's less hate.
Oh, really?
They want more hate at the beginning. That means more you.
I must have missed that memo.
Top quarterback pressures in the NFL through week 8. Guess who is number one?
I'm guessing it's an Eagle.
No. It's not even an Eagle in this group. What are you talking about? God, you watch the games? My goodness.
Well, we were on the subject, so I thought you were making a point here.
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, Jadeveon Clowney is 6. The Eagles' pressure would be under the realm of Clowney and just take out the EY at the end. Clown show.
All right, anyway, number one in pressures, I'll say Aaron Donald.
No, not even in the top 6. In fact, he's not even in the top 10, despite Chris Collinsworth showing him 212 times in a game. Rashawn Gary of Green Bay is, let's see, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, Rashawn Gary is 10, 14.8%. Harold Landry, who played against Penn State in the Pinstripe Bowl at BC, good player, 14.8%. Jerry Hughes, 15.3%. Number 7, Trey Hendrickson, 15.4%. Jadeveon Clowney is 6th at 16.7%. Max Crosby of the Raiders, 16.8% of the time. Matt Judon, 17.7%. Randy Gregory of the Cowboys. When Gregory plays, he plays well. The problem is he doesn't play all the time because of the off-the-field problems. 18.1%. Myles Garrett of Cleveland is number 2 at 18.3%. Matt, who is number 1? No, I mean, breathing doesn't do anything here.
I don't know why. I'm going to say Von Miller.
No.
Okay.
Micah Parsons.
Ah, there we go.
And by a wide margin, 19.7%. He's the only one above 18.5%. How about that?
Well, it's not surprising.
Well, it is to you. I gave you 10 shots. You didn't get any of them.
I don't know why he didn't come to mind, considering he torched the Eagles.
He's torching everybody.
Yes.
I mean, they've done a great... And not only that, but you see Randy Gregory is in the top 3 with him. Well, that's 2 guys. If you take all the Eagles' percentages combined, it doesn't come to 19.7%.
Well, yeah.
But they're a well-coached group.
No, señor! No, señor! No, señor!
So I just thought we'd open up with that. Some positive stuff. So far, nothing has happened down in Dallas of note with the college football playoff. I the... Look, I think all of us feel that at some point he is going to have... that we're going to get to 12. But instead of sitting there and saying, okay, eventually we'll get to it, just do it, will you? To me, the only thing that is a sticking point in all this, and we've talked about all the other issues, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 justifiably have such strong linkage to the Rose Bowl, and as somebody who's gone to three Rose Bowls and has announced two of them, I can tell you the lure of the place is just phenomenal and off the charts. So I understand where the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are coming from. Figure out a way to make that work, but do that after you decide to go to 12. Get the framework in place to start with 12, and then work out the details as you go here as to how you're going to do it. Okay? To me, that's the only thing that stands in the way, other than the fact you got the, you know, the... I don't get what the ACC is doing. I don't get the Big Ten, as you know. I don't get in any way, shape, or form this alliance thing. I don't get it. James Franklin was absolutely right last night in talking about, hey, look, let's get some consistency of framework here. The SEC and the ACC play 8 conference games. The Pac-12, Big 12, and Big Ten all play 9. There's no consistency there. And again, as I pointed out, you know, Georgia has that game with Charleston Southern. Oh, well, great. Well, if that isn't the, we can do whatever we want to the committee. We can do whatever we want. We're an SEC school. We can do whatever we want. Oh, don't talk like that. That's not fair to the committee. Now, well, the committee needs them to send a message. Show some guts. Okay? The week after they play Charleston Southern and blow them out, move them to 5th. And then get on TV and explain they moved to 5th because when we were ranking teams, they played Charleston Southern. You don't think the schedules will change right away? Now, it's a weekly snapshot. You can move back to 1 the week after if you want. But I'd move them to 5th. I'd say, when we're ranking them, we expect more respect. That's how you solve it. And not one college football playoff committee has had the guts to send a message like that. Well, that's not fair. No, it's very fair. Because every year I see it, and you've got teams, Penn State's playing Michigan, for goodness sakes, coming up. They're going to play at Michigan State. And you got Charleston Southern? Really? And we all know that they are, that Georgia on paper, and so far they play, they've been outstanding. It has nothing to do with that. But you deliberately scheduled somebody. You don't deliberately schedule people, because that's an open schedule. Either take the open date or schedule somebody else. They elected when they knew the college football playoff committee would be ranking. Okay? They've known for a long time they would be ranking. And they deliberately scheduled Charleston Southern. The same way Alabama deliberately scheduled Mercer. And see, the problem is, every year, they get away with it. You drop them to 5th, and you look at the camera and say, you shouldn't be playing somebody like that when we're ranking. We're trying to determine the best teams. You gave us nothing to work with. And then they can cry up a storm all they want. Guess what? You schedule them. But guess why they're scheduling them? Because in all the other years, the committee allowed them to get away with it. Okay. That's fine. Again, it doesn't mean you can't send a message, drop them to 5th, and then bring them back to 1st or 2nd the next week. You can do that. Say, okay, now we get a little different criteria. But correct, that's not even a data point. All right, we'll take a break. A lot going on today. High School Football Roundtable. Dick Girardi, the king. Matt will have a series of complaints Are you complaint-free today?
Overall, yeah.
That means you're not. You actually have some. You're just right now tempering them. All right. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
The suit actually had a star named after himself. And they said, well, why'd you do that? And he said, well, Rocky said that you should name the person that's most special to you. Oh, boy. What do you do with that, man?
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I just don't know. He said, name it after the person that's most special to you. He said, I named it after me. Okay. Wow. All right. Okay. Great to have you with us on the show. A lot of allegations of racism and misogyny within the Phoenix Suns. ESPN has done a lot of really in-depth work on Robert Sarver, who's the owner of the Phoenix Suns, who made it to the NBA Finals last year before losing to the Milwaukee Bucks in six. And they start out with, on the evening of October 30th, 2016, so just about 5 years ago to the day, at Talking Stick Resort Arena in downtown Phoenix, Earl Watson, in just his third game as the Suns head coach, faced a tall task, beat the Golden State Warriors. Young Suns team had been toiling at the bottom of the NBA standings for years, missing the playoffs six straight years while churning through head coaches. Watson was their fourth in as many years. After the loss, Suns majority owner Robert Sarver entered the coach's locker room. Watson told ESPN, he says, you know, why does Draymond Green get running up the court and say the N-word? And he repeated it several times. And Watson looked at him and said, look, you can't say that. Why? Draymond Green says it. And Watson looked at him and says, you can't say that. Another Suns co-owner said that the level of misogyny and racism is beyond the pale. Sarver is embarrassing as an owner. Through his legal team, Sarver has denied using racially insensitive language. He did acknowledge using the word once many years ago. Well, Watson says he used it a lot just in the one conversation. Big problems.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 Hummels Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, great new inventory, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory, and they will deal with you. It's a fabulous sales staff to work with. They work with you. And a service department to back it all up, from the difficult to the routine. They take care of it. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Playoff time. So since it is playoff time, let's bring in Steve Briggs to talk about the matchup between Shamokin and Selins Grove, 7 o'clock Friday night at Selins Grove, the matchup of the 3 and the 2 seeds. Steve, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Oh, thanks, Steve. Always great to be here.
Was there a point in the season where you felt like, you know, you walked out and said, I feel like I've seen a turning point? And if so, where might that have been?
Yeah, I think, ironically, was probably the first and second quarter of the Shamokin game. Back, it was a Saturday, beautiful Saturday afternoon. They had some issues with light, so we moved the game to Saturday. And I think that's when, you know, teams had been saying, hey, if we put everybody in the box and try to stop Brandon Heil, you know, force a young kid to throw, you know, that's the best way of defending Selins Grove early. And what happened was, I think Mark Pastore exploded with like 225 yards passing, a couple of passing touchdowns, and all of a sudden you couldn't do that any longer. And I think that was a real jolt to the Seals, and it kind of changed their whole outlook offensively, and they started moving the ball, spreading the ball around a whole bunch of guys, including a freshman receiver, more or less exploded. And we've talked about the explosive plays, but that's what they were doing. They were getting the ball to three or four guys, and teams had a tough time defending them.
What kind of work have you seen on the offensive line by the Seals in the last, like, let's say, 7 weeks?
Well, interesting you say that. I think during the week I get a chance to watch some film, and my goodness, it's what I did my whole life. So just sitting back, and I think what they did, and I don't know this for sure because I'm not in the coach's offices there, but I think Mike Ferraro, the offensive coordinator, said, hey, let's do what we can do best. You know, what do these guys do well? And they focused on a few areas up front, inside running game, and then they started running on the perimeter. But most importantly, their quick passing game, where, you know, they weren't necessarily putting Mark back in a five-step maybe a play-action type of a deal where the offensive line was putting themselves on their heels and couldn't necessarily block those guys earlier. So it was a quick passing game. They were sprinting out a little bit, getting Mark on the flank, changing his launch points a little bit, and then lo and behold, the offense was getting better. They were just seeing where they could run the football a little bit better, and I think that's what they kind of focused on the rest of the way, and you know, the end result is 7 wins.
What has giveaway takeaway meant to Selins Grove and quick change?
Huge. Short fields. I think that's the nature of the game in football nowadays: is hang on to the ball, don't turn the ball over. You got, like anywhere, you got a chance to really do some good things. But most importantly, along with the turnovers and getting the ball and being on the plus side of that, was they used the kicking game to their advantage, turnover wise, as well as setting up short fields and getting some really good returns to go along with those turnovers. So they've really used that to their advantage down the stretch and in some pretty big games.
All right, which then means usually that a team defensively is playing fast. And for the uninitiated, when I mean that, that means I see it, I believe it, and I go. I don't, like, hesitate. That's playing fast.
That's exactly right.
How fast is the Selins Grove defense playing right now?
Very fast, and I think from day one. They weren't thinking much. 3-5 attacking defense, playing a 3-deep scheme, some cover 2 look. They eventually got into some nickel set, but still not doing a whole ton where these guys were thinking. They were just letting the guys play, which I think that's been Coach Hicks's forte for the past, you know, how many years he's been head coach, but even so, when he was on the prior staff as defensive coordinator, just keep things simple, let him run, let him play, don't do a whole bunch of things in coverage, and like you said, play fast, and that's really what they do, and that's the backbone of this football team.
So you obviously saw Shamokin, and you know, because they played Selinge Grove already. Is Shamokin any different now, Steve, than they were the first time the two teams played?
I do believe they are, Steve, because at first, and then the interesting thing, Henry Hynoski, their head coach, wasn't at the last game. He was sitting out for COVID reasons, and I think they were a kind of a vanilla wing tee-ish, open up a little bit. Now you put them on film, and you're seeing trip sets, you're seeing motion to double wide, you're seeing a lot more of the open set and some three-step game. They did a nice job against Selinge Grove of attacking the outside flanks in the pass game. I expect to see that. I also expect to see a quick game because they seem to do that pretty well. They did that last week, or attempted to, against Mount Carmel in pouring rain. So I'm guessing that tomorrow night, which is supposed to be decent weather, they're gonna exploit that or attempt to exploit that. They've got, again, one of the best running backs. I think Selinge Grove has done a super job on playing big backs, you know, throughout the season. The last time they kept this kid, Max Madden, to I think around 25, 30 yards total yardage and kept him out of the end zone. It was 33-0 shutout. But since then, he's averaged over 100 yards a game and a couple scores. So I don't think it's a big secret what's going to happen here. Shamokin's like anybody else that play, when you play people twice, they're going to be better. There's no question about that. But I also think this is their way of solidifying a decent season that's been kind of up and down for them. So I expect to see a little bit different things, maybe even some trickery to try to keep the Seals off balance. When you go into a game where you lost 33-0 the first time, obviously in the back of their mind they're saying, okay, what can we do to make sure this doesn't happen again? So it's going to be a fun one, there's no question, but they will be different than they were the first time that they played.
Steve, an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much, my friend, for being with us, and looking forward to tomorrow night.
All right. Thanks a lot, Steve. All the best.
You too, my friend. All right, let's bring in Greg Wetzel, who's already complained that there's no chief there. but evidently, according to my sources, said he felt like the room was too crowded last week. I don't know what that means.
Oh, my almighty!
Yeah. I mean, Matt, do you know what that means? I don't know. What
a lot of room this week.
A lot of room. We missed the chief, but there's something about two's company, three's a crowd. I mean, Matt, I mean, what does that mean? I don't know.
We'll just leave it at that. How about that?
It's like, you know, and not only that, he equals like five. All right, so... Greg, surprise, surprise.
It is a surprise. I mean, things had to fall just right, and every game fell just right, and Lewisburg beat Mifflinburg.
All right, so they're sitting there right now. I'll ask you the same question I asked Steve. What was the point, just in quality of play? Now, I don't mean playoff run. In quality of play, where you look back and say, you know what? I feel like things have started to turn for these kids.
I believe it was... probably against Central Columbia. They beat Midwest rather handily, and then they played Central Columbia, and they beat Central Columbia. I think it was 26-3 the score, but it was an away game. It's a team that's given them difficulties over the years, always pretty competitive games, but Central came out on top more times than Lewisburg did. And they just dominated Central that night. And I think that's when they saw... When I say that, Steve, the defensive coaches tell these kids stuff. They say, hey, when they line up in this formation, they might pass, say, 90% of the time. If they line up in this formation, they're going to run 90% of the time, things like that. And you could see the light come on. That they were seeing it against Central. Hey, they're in this formation. They're going to run the ball. and they held Central to 100 yards of total offense in that game, and they just dominated on offense too. I mean, the score was only 26-3, but they had three touchdowns called back, and so you could just see the confidence starting to begin with the with that game.
Isn't it amazing?
Oh.
You tell them.
Yep.
Right? And then, of course, you go to film on probably Monday.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, we told you that. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Hey, right. They're high school kids. They know it all.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, I've noticed that over the years.
Yeah, yep.
All right. So now they get going.
Yep.
Was there any subtle change? Okay, sometimes for a coach, it'll take a little bit to look at your personnel, and you go into the season thinking this is the best way to play with this group, but then experience of watching them in games says I may have to make a subtle change somewhere. Was there a subtle change that they made in what they were doing that paid off?
I think the subtle change was that they were the running backs didn't have a lot of experience. I mean, they had Max Moyers for the last 4 years who carried the ball most all the time, and he was the record-setting running back at Lewisburg, rushed for over 4,000 yards in his career. So these kids came in with not a lot of experience. And in fact, Ethan Dominic was the quarterback last year, so now he's the tailback. So I think it took him a while to get that going. And Ethan, they started breaking things down in film, I think, for Ethan that, hey, here's the hole. This is where we want you to run. Don't break it outside. You know, a lot of young running backs want to break everything outside.
Right.
Here's where the hole is going to be. Just run through that hole. You know, this is where we're calling the play. Run it this way. And those things started coming to fruition for the team and seeing those things. And you know, he's getting the 4 and 5 yard gain instead of maybe the 2 yard gain when he breaks it outside or a loss when he tries to break it outside. So those little things started picking up. And they started using the tight end, Oren Odonyes, a little more, who's a heck of an athlete. He's verbally committed to play for Lafayette next year. And he's a 6'3", 225-pound tight end who can run like a deer, realistically.
Right.
And they started using him, and it just opened up the whole offense for them.
Okay, so I'll ask you the same question I asked Steve, and that was about the work in the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the physicality on both sides of in the trenches get better?
I have, and I think that comes with the confidence. You know, with winning breeds confidence, and big plays breed confidence, and that's what they were doing. They've been able to stay on their blocks. They've had some success. And even the game they lost against Loyalsock, they had close to 400 yards of offense in that game. Defensively, same thing. They've been only rushing 3, maybe 4 guys a game and getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback. So that the offense and defensive line has improved throughout the course of the year.
What about giveaway takeaway?
Well,
this is a little different because the giveaway takeaway for Lewisburg isn't great.
No, but the during this winning streak, the winning, it has been much better. I think more so than the giveaway takeaway, Steve, is Lewisburg has won the toss in their last 7 ball games. They have elected to go on defense, and they have stopped every opponent on a 3 and out and gotten the ball in excellent field position. And that has meant as much as anything in the takeaway department. Now, last week against Mifflinburg and the driving rainstorm, Lewisburg didn't turn the ball over, but Mifflinburg turned it over 3 times.
Right.
So, you know, that was a big difference in the ball game last week also. But you're right. The giveaway takeaway is not that big of a difference, but Lewisburg has gotten a lot of 3 and outs in this winning streak that they have.
Yeah. Okay, so what about Jersey Shore? I know it's the suit's never enamored with them, but that's a personal thing, and the fact that out there, like they've kind of had enough of them.
Yes.
But you know, what has made them a really good football team in a tough matchup?
Well, confidence. You know, they expect to win every game they go into. The other thing is they play at a different pace than any high school team in our area. The first time Lewisburg played Jersey Shore, they ran 51 plays in the first half. of a 24-minute game, first half, and Lewisburg had the ball, they ran 51 plays. Now, they were only beating Lewisburg 10-8 at halftime, but that wear and tear took a toll on Lewisburg in the second half, and they had to be prepared for that. The other thing they do, Steve, even though they run a lot of plays offensively, they don't run, if this makes sense, a lot of plays. They have maybe 6-7 running plays and and 4 or 5 pass plays. But they just run them out of every formation you can think of.
Yep.
And they
a lot of window dressing.
A lot of window dressing. And they try to confuse you defensively because, like I said, they run a play, a kid gets tackled. Within 3 seconds, they're on the line of scrimmage ready to run the next play. And a lot of times in that game, the play clock wasn't down to 30 seconds, and they were snapping the ball to run the next play. So that's something Lewisburg has to be ready for. The other thing is they have 3 kids that have run for over 500 yards on their offense. They've run for 2,700 yards this year in 10 football games. They average about 410 yards a game on offense. So they can spread the wealth around. You can't key on one player. They have a fullback that's a heck of a running back. Their quarterback's run for over 700 yards. So you don't know where the ball's going. Even though they don't have many plays, you just don't know where it's going.
Don't go there with a sign that says, let's win one for the suit. It will fire them up. I'm just telling you.
I don't think that's in our arsenal to take that with us.
To be honest with you, is it anywhere? All right.
That's right.
Greg, it's always a pleasure, my good friend.
It's a pleasure, Steve.
Thanks. Appreciate you very much. That's on 100.9 The Valley. Well, Lewisburg at Jersey Shore, and then on Eagle 107, Sealands Grove, hosting Shamokin. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury.
S-U-I-T, that spells suit-a.
The most special person in his life. You know, I happened to mention the suit the other day. I said, you know, a week from today is Veterans Day. And he says to me, he says, I know I'm going to take the day off. I'm a veteran. I said, when did you serve? He goes, what are you talking about? He said, I'm a veteran of radio. He scares the living daylights out of me, okay? I worry. You seem to roll with the punches a little bit, but I also feel like as time has gone, you're seeing what I'm seeing.
I think that's probably the best way of putting it, yes.
You're just afraid to say it. I'm a veteran of radio. I'm like, oh, what? Oh, the 10 most frightening people on the planet. He might be one. All right, so name a star after someone that's special to you. I'm special. Look up there, Star Kevin, brightest one in the sky. That's the suit star. No, that's Venus. That's a suit star. That's Venus. Oh, goodness gracious. All right.
I thought that was Uranus, but that's just me.
It's a family show. We'll go with Venus. It's the planet closest to us. It's very bright. We'll just do it scientifically for now, okay?
Yeah, it's probably better.
I mean, we've been told over and over again, follow the science. I do it, I get criticized for it. So we're going to go to California next. Dick Girardi's at Del Mar. Then we'll go to New England and the King. We got 3,000 miles to cover in the next hour. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kierwood's 11 at 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. On News Radio 1070, WKOK.